This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to disseminating the Torah and Mesorah of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky and his Rebbeim. Please consider donating at eshelpublications.com to help us continue our mission.
Okay. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. We're holding here in the Hemshech of that Piskut, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And for those who found it in Yaakov, it is Piskah Nun Aleph, and it spoke about tzaddikim finishing their years fully. It's 120 because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Masa Shashem Tzaddikim. Then it says, Lo uchal lotzeis oid v'lovoi, my lotzeis v'lovoi. I lema lotzeis v'lovoi mamish, oksiv moish v'mash shonem b'moisoi, lakasa einoi v'los lecho, oksiv v'yal moish v'marasmei v'al harnevoi. So Vitanya Shemesu Mailas Hoyasham Pasa Moshe Psiachas. So Moshe Rabbeinu, first on the pasuk, it says that there was no physical impairments, and it says in Chazal that Vayal Moshe Ma'arvas Moshe Lahanavoy, that 12 steps stairs going, and Moshe jumped it up in one shot. So Amir Shomarach Mein Amir Bernison Lotzis for Love Diver Teira Milamed Shenistat Mimeni Shara Chachma, that the Shara Chachma won Istat Mimeno. That's the, so first I want to say over fascinating Shav Shmaitza Chazal. This Chazal, by the way, is part of Pasha Shavua. This is the Pasuk is in Pasha Shavua, but there's a very fascinating Shav Shmaitza over here. Shav Shmaitza in his Akdama, he has some remarkable things you don't expect it from a Talmudist, like the Shav Shmaitza, to say these things, but this is it. He says like this, what does it mean, nistamu mayonis? He says, be'emes a mayon is never nistam. A mayon is something that flows endlessly. So what does it mean, nistam mayonisav? And he also says, chas v'sholom, Moshe Rabbeinu should have, that Moshe Rabbeinu should have forgotten or not been able to learn. He doesn't feel that that's a right pshat. So he says the following. He says that a person who is a gadol and needs to teach Torah to the Hamoinam, the most important ability is to be able to be metzamtzim his Torah to fit the people. And he gives a mashal. He says the amount of milk that a mother can produce is quite a large quantity, and yet the nipple that fits the child's ability to what child can intake and absorb at any time, it fits the child. So, and he brings Chazal in that also, that that's a chesak HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, that he did not overwhelm the child with all the milk that the mother has, other Chazal like that. So that means that the ability to be able to transmit Torah, it requires having a suitable quantity of Torah to transmit. It also requires having the ability to sort of focus the Torah that you're giving over to fit the child that's receiving it. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah was endless. Moshe Rabbeinu, as a Roya Neman, was able to be mitzamtzem his teaching to fit the people. So that was true until that day. Lo uchal od lotzeis v'lovo means I no longer can bring Torah to you. In other words, I can no longer give it. I can no longer transmit it. And therefore, I didn't lose my personal knowledge, understanding. I lost my ability. Since today, I'm no longer going to be the manhig, what I've lost is the ability to suit it to you. And that's what he says. That's the pshat nistak b'mayanoisav. He says, you cannot stop a mayan. What you can do is you can block the entranceway. In other words, where the mayan comes out, you can put something on top of that to block it so that it doesn't come out. But the mayan itself, by definition, courses on forever. So the pshat in that day was that he no longer had the ability to be a manhig. And that's what Chazal is saying. He didn't lose anything. He himself was the same. He was in top form. But inability to lead Klal Yisrael, which on the teaching level meant being able to phrase things and deliver things in a way that people could get from it, that stopped, and that's called Nistat Mayarisa. That's Shav Shmaitzer says. Fascinating. Shav Shmaitzer was a young boy when he wrote the Shmaitzer. I think he was a teenager. He was like 17 years old. I guess the people matured much. People, or maybe that's the Shav Shmaitzer. I don't know. Maybe that's the Ketzais Akaponim. By the way, there's also a Ketzais, someone that quotes a Zohar. In Halach, he actually quotes it. So I guess there was another side that we don't have, his side of Agada. But let's get back to the main part of this. So it says, the part I guess we want to speak about, it says, Uksiv ayal Moshe Avos Moav al Har Nevo, that Moshe went from Avos Moav to Har Nevo, v'tanya shtem osa mailas hoyesham, uposa Moshe psiachas. And he jumped him up with one jump. Very hard to understand exactly what that means. Besides the fact, I mean, you're talking about a mountain, 12 steps in a mountain. No matter how tall the steps are, a 12-step mountain is not a terrible mountain. So what does it mean? So the Maral says, Uposan de psia achas. He says, Dova ze inyan muflog bi arnoise bechibu gorayye. This is an extraordinary inyan, which we explain the gorayye. He has a few more places he speaks about it in Gvoras Hashem. Ki elu shtem esri mailas hu mispa ze. 12 mailas is the gematria of ze. Ze is the gematria of 12. She nikra Moshe b'shem ze. Moshe is called ze. Ki ze Moshe ha'ish. The ze defines Moshe. Ki mila ze meire. So this word ze, which is the gematria of 12, used in the context of ze Moshe ish, is describing Moshe's milas of tzura. Kimila ze moira al doba romos vanigla sheisha mitzias before legamri. V'ze inyan atzura sheisha mitzias before legamri. Why is the word ze, other than the gematria, why is that word the important word? Because the word ze is something which is fully formed. It's something which exists as is. For instance, kazer evikadesh, the ze is what's in front of you, what is in actual existence. And the kazer is anything which will potentially become that. And that's the tzura which has a mitzis before legamri. And this 12, so this word ze is gematria 12. So this 12 that he jumped is that gematria. Ukvar amarnu she atzur nikra ze she mispar yud beis lachain besoif pasa yud beis psias keechot. So at his final moment, his final act was to jump to 12 psias keechot k'lo yischale katzura. So going up to Har Nevo is the final piece of his tachlis in this world. Then he says, "V'teida ki chaya Moshe hoya meya ve'esim shugam ki yud beiz v'mitzvah katan." He lived 120. Which is 12, but Mitzvah Katan is whenever you lap off the zero at the end of the thing, that's called Mitzvah Katan. So that was 12. The Zeh Seif Chayev Shal Moshe Shehigia Al Mitzvah Zeh Umoshe Mitzvah Katan Hu Zeh. And if you look at the name Moshe and you take the Gematria Mitzvah Katan, so Moshe is 345. If you add up the digits, 3, 4, as 7 and 5 is 12. Umoishu sakotnu ze, vizashoma kiposi des psiasman avas moya vilhana vipsi achas, obedava ze rachnamokamacha. So he gives this whole string of so this 12 over here is something which is miramis to Moshe Rabbeinu's darga, and you find these 12s appearing constantly by Moshe. He has it also by the eagle. He speaks about it. It says, Rashi says, there was 12 something or other of kesef that they threw in, of gzav that they threw in, and he goes and he speaks about the number 12 and so on. Same idea, but over there he applies it to a different inyan in Rashi. Al kopanim, so let's try a little bit to understand this inyan of 12 that he's talking about, that it's a davar that is shalem and a shayach to tzura, a shayach to Moshe, seif chayev, and so on. The number 12 is Miramis. The number 12, one of its basic expressions is what he calls Yud Beis Gevuli Alachsan. That when you take any three-dimensional entity and you count the lines that define it, you get 12 lines. So let's take a cube is the simplest one. A cube has six sides. And therefore, anything which is three-dimensional, you can have many, many sides. But if you're aligning it with the tzadim in the world, you get six sides. There's the north orientation, south orientation, east, west, up and down, etc. And there are 12 lines that define that entity. So the most you can break down, the parts of the pieces that you can break down at Davar Shalom is 12. That's the significance of the number 12 in this context. So let's take the difference between Surah and Choma the way he's using it, the way it's described. Whenever we speak of Surah and Chomas, so the simple example is a statue made out of stone, or a table made out of wood and plastic and metal and paint and whatever it is. So the chomer is the raw material. The tzura is what it adds up to. So in this world, the entities that are defined and have a metzias and a meaning have a tzura to it. Stam racks hanging around are stam racks hanging around. They're not defined as anything. Paste them together, you make a house, you make a fence, whatever it is that you're doing with it, you're making something. So when you make something out of the pieces, the defining characteristic is that it finally realizes itself. So the world is full of raw material. And when you create something, do something, it means you made a tzura, you made a house, you made a table, you made a chair, you made a garment, you grew food and something like that. And whatever is that tzura shleima, it includes all the pieces that went into it in a way that you no longer think of it as pieces, but rather as a whole unit. A car, as long as it's on the assembly line, so there are 10,000 pieces, and we're talking about attaching this, screwing this, welding that, and so on. We're talking about bits and pieces. We're talking about the engine, we're talking about the transmission, about the seats, and so on. When we talk about a car, we talk about a car, because once all the pieces have come together, once it's a tzura, it has now become something else, which is characterized by not having parts and pieces. The parts and pieces go in to make it, but once you've done something, the thing itself has a name. A living room set includes a table and chairs and a sofa and whatever else you're putting in. So as long as you're working on the pieces, you're saying I have such a chair and such a table and such a thing, but when it's there and it's, and you feel it's complete, it's a living room set. It's a living room. That's the way in which we see it. So anything that, and that's why ze means it has something defined. Ze cannot be used on things that are totally abstract. That's one end of it. I can't say the on something which is not defined, but the flip side is also true. I can't say the rack on a nameless rack, on some sort of just another rack. What do you mean the rack? I'm taking racks. I need a rack. I need a piece of wood. But I can say this table. I can define something that has a metzias. I can define with the word zeh. So that's why the word zeh is. I once learned this lesson many years ago when I was a young boy. I was in Mi Yeshiva as a bacha, and the first Pesach, the first Nissan, we went to Tveria for a vacation, or quote unquote. We stayed in some random place, and we're trying to rent a boat on the Kinneret, and we wanted a rowboat, not a motorboat. So the guy showed us a motorboat, and I didn't know how to say a rowboat I don't know how to say it. So I told him, in my broken Hebrew at the time, ani rotzeh oniya stam. I guess stam, I felt, was kind of, generic. So the guy said, adoni en stam, rak avanim ze stam. There is no stam. Stam is stones. So yes, stones are stam, but when it adds up to a tzura, that's when it gets a certain mitzias that I can define. So now it's not a rack, it's not a sand, it is something. The so Moshe Rabbeinu's Maila was the tzura of Klal Yisrael. When it says Moshe Shakel Keneged Yisrael, Keneged all of Klal Yisrael, it doesn't only mean he's as a big tzaddik as all the tzaddikim put together. Maybe yes, maybe not. But what it means is that Moshe includes in himself all the elements of the different Shvatim Klal Yisrael in a way that it's a seamless whole. Each Shevet has its own characteristics. So Lamashal, just like, let's say, in a government, you have a prime minister and you have different ministers. So the minister of defense might say, we desperately need new tanks. And the job of the minister of finance is say, well, we have no money for it. Tell me where you're getting the money from. And the minister of education says, well, we need to train people and we need more money for training and so on. And it is the job of the prime minister to include all those different points in a way that balances out to a viable army and defense or whatever it is. So Klal Yisrael is Shvatim, and each one has in himself its own yichud, its own milus. But in order for Klal Yisrael to be Klal Yisrael, we need somebody who incorporates all those in a way that represents the tzur of Klal Yisrael versus Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. That person was Moshe Rabbeinu. What it requires is it's a totality of a tzura. So just like Lamashal, we could take a person and we look at his milus. I would say this person's, he's wonderful in chesed, and he's a kind person, and he's a ruchnistic person in the world of chesed. But when it comes to doing things on time or whatever it is, not so good. The second person does things very much on time, but he has very little patience. So every person I can find studim that are his strengths, but the whole picture together is absent. The maila of Klali of Moshe Rabbeinu was that it's a totality of a tzura of the tzura that's needed, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu's maila. So Moshe Rabbeinu is always Zeh ha'ish Moshe, because the number 12 is what associates with him. And that's what it says on his last day. So just we said last time, just like a person has different tchunas ha'nefesh, that each one complements and is part of, should be part of a greater whole, a person's life is like that also. And we spoke last time about the tmimim, tzadikim atmimim. Every day counts as something else. There's a tkufa for this, and tkufa for this, and tkufa for this. And all the tkufas together put together, integrated, becomes that shleimus in that surah. That's why on the last day, that's what the Maharal says. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to skip. He was able to do all the 12 steps in one shot. In other words, until that point, we looked at each part of his person as becholzeis being different. But once it was mashim, so as long as we're building the car, we're still talking about parts and pieces. We still have the chart with all the parts and the pieces. Here's this screw, here's this piece, here's this bar, and so on. The minute I put in the last, I tighten the last screw, that's gone. It's not screws, that's bars, it's a car. It's this and this type of car. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's last day when he skipped over 12 steps. That's what the Chazal mean over here. I'd like to shtel it to something, Lulun Yan Yema, Dick. It says Malachim. One of the Yonim on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was supposed to be like Malachim. And we don't eat and we don't drink like Malachim. And all the different things, the various things we withdraw from is a Gera that will Malach like. One of the things that's a little, so eating and drinking and Tashlamit, all these things, those are all pleasures, physical pleasures. We draw away from those physical pleasures and we kind of become more ruchnius. But there's one that it says, Malachim stand with regular yeshara. They don't have kfitzin. Malachim don't have knees and they're always standing on one foot. And that's why there's a minig in many yekis where people stand all the Yom Kippur, because we're like Malachim. I mean, Chazal say it, but Chazal say that lashon that he stands. They stand the regular Yeshara. We also stand. Some people talk who actually makpit to try to stand the whole day. At any rate, the standing in one place represents a malach. It's kind of strange. What are we trying to represent with that? Maybe even wearing white is kind of an akias. I mean, standing with one foot, like what does it mean in the source that we're imitating that? What are we trying to imitate? It also says, interestingly, by Malachim, the Gemara Brach says there's different madregas in Malachim, and the madregas are measured by how many stops, in how many swoops, does it take him to get from point to point? 8, 4, 2, 1. Sort of, I guess, is the flight interrupted or not? Is there connecting flight or not? What does it mean? What are we talking about? So we're talking about this inyan. Malachim don't have feet because a person has a foot, which means as follows. We travel through feet, through using our feet, which means that we take a step and another step and another step. Each step is a discrete unit, and it is a and it's part of the whole, but it's identified as its own. So this step is identified as being from point A to B. I want to get to Z, but that's what's identified as. So people, when they do things because they're Balei Chomer and because things are a process, we don't go from 0 to 100 instantly. We go step by step by step. That's because we're Chaymer, and that's part of our Metzias of Chaymer. Malachim do things instantly because their whole Metzias is a Ruchnistik Metzias, and that's why there's as soon as there's a Dvar Hashem to do something, they've done it. And even Malachim, Chazal tell us there are different shades of whether it takes one flight or two flights, but the point is, walking means you make contact with the ground, which is not where you're going to. There are units that do not have shaychus to the whole, and whereas flying, it's sort of it's point to point. You know, we don't count the flight in the middle because it's not stopping anybody else. It's not a point, and so on. That's the general sense of that Chazal. And the general sense of Moshe Rabbeinu jumping it in one shot. But on Yom Kippur, it says we're like Malachim. So one understanding of it would be that, yes, we transcend specific nekudas, and we're more ruchnius. In a normal day, we engage in a lot of physical activities, and we, you know, now I'm going to eat something, then I'll bench, then I'll take a nap, then I'll walk down to here. Whereas in Kippur, it's pretty much straight. So there's that sense of being like a malach in the sense that our day is basically all ruchnius. I think there's another knach also that I think stems to this. An understanding of how tshuva works, how it works in the following way. Averis and mitzvahs are step by step. Do this, don't do this, and so on. There's another cheshmen, a bigger cheshmen is, where do I want the world to come to? The Rebbe Yisrael has a cheshbin of a world that should be mesukin, a world kitikunai, that will be the world that Kabayachli envisioned, a world that reflects Kvod Shamayim. So the world, its tachlis, is to be a mirror for Kvod Shamayim. The Ramchal, when he speaks about Chira, and Rabchir and Rechayichud and Das Tvunas, basically says the following point. The destination of the world is one. How we get there is what we have Bechira, which means a person can bring the requisite Kvod Shemayim by doing straight out what you should do, the Tzadik Gomer personality. We can also bring the same Kvod Shemayim if we took the wrong turns, messed up, suffered the consequences, came to the realization of what's good, and we're good out of recognizing how bad was. Both of them get you to the same place. Let's give an example. Imagine we're trying to wean a kid away. We don't want a kid to drink or to do whatever he shouldn't do. So one way is you have a very goody-goody kid. You tell him not to do it. If you're not supposed to do it, that's terrible, and he doesn't touch it. You have another kid who must touch it, must experiment, and if he's a bardas, he realizes how terrible of a rut he's gotten into, pulls himself out, and ends up being equal, some ways better, but very strong, with strong understanding that this was terrible, and it's not good, and so on and so forth. The Rebbe Shalom has, that's the tzur of the world is a world that reflects Einoid Mulvadai. There's nothing but the Rebbe Shalom. There is a mahalach of Tzadik Gomer, where we take it as it is and we carry the ball and we do it. And then there's a mahalach where we go round and about, but we eventually come back to the same point. Tshuva means returning to the same point. Tshuva doesn't mean getting better. Tshuva means at the end, I turn back to that same nekuda. That's the incredible chesed of tshuva, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave many, many places where we can recalculate the route and get there a different way. It may be a more painful route, it may be a more difficult route, but there's always a route to recalculate and to end up where you're supposed to end up. So tshuva means to come back to the same place. And therefore, in once when you reach destination, whether you got there through Tzadik Gomer or you got there through tshuva, you've accomplished the same. In the tzura shaboy, it doesn't make a difference if you did the table right or took you a lot of mistrials until you got it right. At the end of the day, in the table, it's there already. So there's a certain, on Yom Kippur specifically, we're shayach to the tzura, because that's in tshuva, it allows a person to get to that same point. Had it there not been a world of tshuva, then some people get to the end and some people get halfway there, in which case, like you have a car and you run out of parts, you're left with basically scrap metal. Expensive scrap metal, but scrap metal. It's only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that the tshuva also leads back through Yisurim, through Harata, through Hakara, through whatever Mahalach, tshuva all leads back to the same point. That gives us back. So Dafka, the world of Tzura, is Shayach Tasan Yom Kippur, because in the Tzura is where the Derech of Tshuva and the derech of never having sinned become one. That is a, as, and that's where Tshuva Me'ava is especially significant, because Tshuva Me'ava takes all the points of quote unquote error, and because they became the energy that drove us back to what's good, they become part of a route that also leads to it. That's the why Tshuva Me'ava has that special ma'ila of Nasa Swiss. Like upon him, so on the on Yom Kippur, we're like the ruch, like malachim, for simple reasons. We're in the ruchnistik and matziv. We stay away from things that are chamri and so on. But much on a deeper level, it's the day of tzur. It's the day when we relate to what's the final tzur a person is supposed to have, and in that sense, we're like malachim who don't. We've already gotten to the. Once you get to the destination, all the places you landed are mitzaref. It's all the same. It's one surah and so on. Al kapan, we should have a gemar sima teiva, a good kibben shiar, and I guess we'll resume after shchaydish mitzvah. Gemar
sima teiva. Gemar sima teiva. Thanks, Rabbi.